scripture reading will come from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 41, starting at verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you once again on this day. Dear Lord, you know our situation. Father, we realize, dear Lord, that we have been through these things before, and you have never failed us, dear Lord. And Father, we thank you. We shall not be afraid. We shall just trust in you. We thank you for your son, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, and we're grateful for all that God has brought us through. We want, if we could, to lift up a portion of Scripture, Psalms 46, very familiar passage of Scripture. And it reads from the English Standard Version, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, and though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble as it is swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. God, the God of Jacob, is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I want to put a tag on this text, talk about, for a timely tidbit, pausing for power, pausing for power. My brothers and sisters, the NATO Supreme Commander General Wesley Clark was interviewed after 9/11, and he ended his comment with a haunting question. He said, will we ever be the same? And I want to give you my answer to that question, and that is, I hope not. The worst thing that could ever happen after a tragedy is that after all the details are sorted out and all the pieces are picked up, that we would go back to the way we were before. Truth is, we must not stay the same, and we must never be the same. Psalms 46 in our text was written in the context of problems and stress and uncertainty, sort of like what we are experiencing right now during this pandemic pause. The writer's world is crumbling all around him. And this song, beloved, was written with the nation of Israel in mind, and but it certainly speaks to where we are today. For if a nation or a people is ever going to be strong, it will only be when we trust in the Lord. I think that's the highlight of the psalm, that we've got to trust God. And I've discovered that the source of our strength is not in our government, our economy, or even in our buildings, or anything else that's temporary. The truth is, we must look to the hills from which cometh our help, because we know that our real help comes from the Lord. Listen, beloved, before we get into Psalms, this psalm, let me point out the word Selah is after verse 3, verse 7, verse 11. It's a curious phrase, most likely a musical rest in which the singer stops singing and only the instruments are heard. According to one Bible dictionary, this phrase can also signify a musical crescendo that is followed by silent reflection. I like that because it carries the ideal of meditation. Psalms 46, beloved, we're called to pause and meditate three different times so that we can comprehend what God is saying to us. And for our purpose this morning, we'll follow the natural outline and pause at these three same spots. We are reminded of three essential truths about God. God demonstrates his dependability through his protection, his presence, and his position. The text is first tailored to teach us that if we're going to pause for power, we've got to see his protection, verse 1 and 3. In the midst of whatever we are feeling today during this pandemic pause, we need to realize that God desires to be our refuge and strength. He desires to be our help. In verse 2, the writer is imagining the worst calamity that could possibly hit his people as he describes earthquakes and volcanoes erupting and mountains slipping into seas. Mountains provided refuge in the time of war, and they were considered to be the most secure and stable part of nature. Mountains were the most fixed and firm things on planet Earth. And verse 3 describes roaring waters, and the word roaring means to be in great commotion, to rage, or to be at war. It is the imagery here that depicts something that is stable and secure, suddenly seeming no longer fixed or firm. It seems as if, beloved, it's out of control. This COVID-19, beloved, quandary has hit us hard as a church, a city, and a country, and even the world. It means our lives were fixed and firm like the mountain. Now it seems that the country is in a commotion as we wonder what's going to happen next. There's a sense of vulnerability. There's a quaking, if you would, and a roaring that has caused a lot of people to think about the future. What's going to happen next? We see folk die in droves or by the thousands, people being quarantined in their homes, not being able to go outside or touch or hug and all of that. It's humbling us because we really can't do anything about it. And so the psalmist says, God is our refuge. He is our hiding place. Even when what seems to be permanent is demolished, God is our refuge. The word refuge literally means to flee. It means as if we're running to shelter. And the ideal is that the psalmist is suggesting that we run to God for protection. When this world crashes around us, beloved, God is there protecting us. It says that God is our strength. I like that. The word strength implies that we can rely on his might when we feel weak and when we feel defenseless. The psalmist says that he's a very present help in trouble. The word trouble means affliction or distress or even tribulation. In other words, God is quick to give assistance. Hello, somebody. He is a right now God, that while we are in it, God is our strength. God is our refuge. And it literally means that he has proven himself to be such a help in the past. And therefore, we can trust him in the present. He is a very present help in trouble. He did it before and he can do it again. And because of that, verse 2 says we should have no fear. We do not have to fear. I like that. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way. And listen, if we run to him, we don't have to be afraid. And verse 2 is only true if verse 1 is true. If God is our refuge and strength, and if God is a very help, present help in trouble, therefore we do not have to fear. I hope somebody gets that this morning, beloved, because our faith can cast out all fear. We don't have to be afraid. When the landscape of our lives suddenly change, know that we have a God who is our refuge and our strength. Listen, it is, if you would, the American Indian who had a unique practice of training their young braves. On the night of a young boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting and scouting and fishing skills, he was put to one final test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the night, entire night, all alone. Until then, he had never been taken away from the serenity of his tribe and family. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken several miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of thick, dense woods, and he was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. After what seemed like an eternity, the story goes that dawn finally broke and the first rays of sunlight crept through the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees that outlined the path. And then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld a figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was, beloved, his father. Listen, his father had been standing there all the while, all night long. Listen, it may look bad for us, but you need to know that it's always darkest before the dawn. Remember that our Heavenly Father is right there, and He knows what we're going through, beloved. He knows that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. He knows that He will protect us and defend us, and He will shelter us from the storm. He knows that we can run to Him, and He will guard us, and He will keep us safe. That's why in our sense of helplessness and fear, it should drive us to God, not away from God. Is that all right to say? Tragedy ought to bring us to our knees and cause us to be more dependent on God. Listen, beloved, the text is tailored to teach us that God will protect us, but also verse 4 and 7 teaches us that God will give us His presence. Listen, God protects us when we seek refuge in Him. Know that, beloved. Know that, please, because fortunately we don't have to run far to find Him, because His presence is right there with us. Listen, verse 4 paints a picture, if you would, that it's easy for us to miss. He talks about the city of God, or the city of Jerusalem. And while the city of Jerusalem was a very beautiful city, it had no river that ran through it like other major cities. Jerusalem did not have a physical river, but it had something better. It had the very presence of God. Listen, God's grace flowed through like a river that brings gladness and joy to His people. Hear me, and hear me good, that while the ocean rages and foams, God's presence is depicted as a calm, gentle flowing stream. This imagery in Scripture is used to represent joy and abundance and peace, even when everything else is falling apart. Listen, beloved, God's presence with His people is one of the central themes of Scripture. Get this. Verse 5 says, God is with her. Verse 7 declares that the Lord of hosts is with us. Listen, beloved, that this ideal of Him being with us is kind of the word of Emmanuel in the New Testament that says God is with us in Matthew 1, verse 23. That refers to Jesus. That means that when we put our faith in Jesus, listen, we have God with us at all times. Notice the last part of verse 5. God will help her, listen, at daybreak. No matter how bad things get, God's presence means that He will help us. That ought to be good news for us, because when we wake up and start a brand new day, listen, We will experience what Jeremiah did in Lamentations chapter 3, where he says, because of God's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's what we know about God, that God is faithful. And beloved, because he's faithful, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Because he's faithful, he says, I will be with you always. I like the way Romans chapter 8, verse 39 says, neither height nor depth nor any thing else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ, our Christ Jesus, our Lord. God is present with his people, even when the nations are in an uproar and the kingdoms fall, according to verse 6. No matter how bad things get out there, here, we can take comfort in the fact that we know that our God is with us. Listen, the latter part of verse 6 reminds us of God's incredible power. It says that he utters his voice and the earth melts. What we see during this pandemic pause, beloved, is nothing in compared to the awesome power of Almighty God. The raging world melts and dissolves before him. That's Bible. That's what the text says, that nothing can compare to the power that our God has. Listen, beloved, the Lord is over all the armies of heaven, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty is ready and willing to do his work on our behalf. Listen, beloved, what we see in the text, we see God's protection, we see God's presence, but lastly, beloved, we see his position. Verse 8 through 11 gives us that. Listen, we can depend on God at all times because of his protection, because of his presence, and finally, because of his position. Verse 8 says, is calling and compelling us to come and behold the works of the Lord. The word come means to run or to pursue in the Hebrew. Behold means to gaze or to contemplate or to perceive. What desolation, the text says, that he has caused. In other words, it says, if we keep our eyes on God, we will be amazed with what God is about to do. I like that because verse 9 shows us that in his position, he is Almighty God. It says in verse 9, he makes wars to cease to the end of the earth, and he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Listen, beloved, this is what God does. Listen, he can make wars to cease to the end of the earth, and he can break the bow and shatter the spear, and he can, if you would, burn the chariot with fire. It is the ideal, sort of like the Assyrian army, which was the mightiest army on the globe at the time. It had already overrun many of the smaller kingdoms and had hoped to conquer the entire world. But God had other plans. Hear me, a broken bow is of no value to an army, and a spear that is shattered is no longer effective in the spoils of war. Shields and chariots that are set on fire cannot function. In his position as sovereign king, God is in charge. That's what we got to know during this pandemic pause, while we're sheltering in place, is that our God is in charge. That's what I want to help somebody this morning to understand. You all remember when President Ronald Reagan was shot, and they was asking at a White House press conference who was in charge, and Alexander Haig said bluntly, I am in charge as the Secretary of State. Well, I need you to know God emphatically says I'm in charge. No matter what doctors say, no matter what the virus says, no matter what the president or anyone else says, God is the one who has the last say so. It is in God we put our trust. Verse 10 calls us to bow before God in his position as sovereign ruler. It says, be still and know that I am God. I like that verse because to be still means to cast down or to let fall. It's the ideal of not putting forth any exertion, not putting forth any energy, just being still. It's sort of us letting our hands fall to our side as we leave matters into God's hands. We're not just to have a moment of silence. We're not just to be quiet. The purpose is so that we can know God. The text says, be still and know that I am God. Listen, to know means to acknowledge, to comprehend. It means to discover that he is God, like we used to say in days gone by, all by himself. He is unlike any other entity, power, or strength. He is Almighty God, the God, the Lord of hosts. And listen, beloved, we can't even begin to know God until we are still before our God. We have to pause for power. We have to pause during this pandemic. And I believe God has got all of our attention. We're in pause mode. We can't go outside without covering up. We're sheltered in place. And God has us on momentary pause. And I believe so that we can know that he is God all by himself. Know that he will make a way for us. Know that he's a rock in a weary land. Know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Know that through him we are more than conquerors. And know that we already have the victory. We ought to know that even if we got bills due and we've lost our job, that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. We got to know that even though we got to cry sometime, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm done when I tell you this, and that is, beloved, I like the latter part of verse 10 that says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Friends, no matter what happens during this pandemic pause, while we on hiatus, even from church services in a local building, remember this, God will be exalted among the nations. Listen, I like the way Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen and amen. Because the Lord Almighty is with us and the God of Jacob is our refuge. We can trust him as the supreme commander in chief. We can trust him, for is there anything too hard for God? Listen, God will still provide his protection, his presence, because of his position as the Lord of hosts. Let me tell you this story, and that is this. Charlie Brown, beautiful sandcastle that worked, that he had worked on for hours, and finally he was done. He stands back and he takes a look at it. He says it's wonderful, and he's just admiring, and a storm comes up and blows over all of his sandcastle. Now he's standing there with his beautiful masterpiece walls level by the storm. And he's saying to himself, he says, I know there is a lesson in this, but I'm not sure what it is. Hear me and hear me good, beloved, because listen, every one of us have had our sandcastle blown over. And every once in a while, we back up and we say, why am I being hit by this storm so hard? Why am I going through this difficult time in my life? Listen, beloved, sometimes these storms are caused by the devil, and sometimes they're caused by other people, and sometimes they're even caused by ourselves. Sometimes we know that they are even allowed by God.
and they come in different sources, but they all have a purpose in life. And although we may not know at all times what the purpose is, know, beloved, that they do have purpose in our life. There's a lesson here. And although we may not be sure exactly what the lesson is, God is trying to teach us something. I know the Bible declares that that in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And listen, when we face circumstances that we have no control over, listen, God is our strength and our refuge. God bless you, and we'll see you on next week. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, we pause for power right now. Help us to be still and know that you're God and God all by yourself. We know you're with us. We know your presence is there. We know your power is there. We know that you are very present help in trouble. Meet us where we are right now. Give us faith to go on in Jesus' name. We love you and we thank you. We bless your name because you alone are worthy to be praised. It is in the wonderful name of Christ Jesus we do pray. And all of God's people said amen. God bless you, and we'll see you all next week.